Good day, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Debo Tyro Talk Show. And indeed, I want to first start with thanking everyone who has recently joined the YouTube channel, or for people who have always consistently supported the brand by, you know, commenting and sharing the post. We are really grateful. Today, I have a very interesting personality and a very interesting topic that we'll be talking about today. And I have titled this Trade on the Rocks, the Trump Tariff Fiasco. And to help us uncover the Trump Tariff Fiasco, I do have Dr. Ifeoluwa Ogunroyola, an economics expert and someone with focus who's a doctorate holder in economics, who will help us understand the impact of the recent tariffs on Canadian goods entering the United States. You're welcome to the Debo Tyro Talk Show, Dr. Ifeoluwa Ogunroyola.
Thank you very much, Tyro. It's nice being with you here today. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thank you for honoring the invitation. We really appreciate that, and we love the fact that you're here. Now, to help a lot of, thank you so much. To help a lot of people uncover or understand this tariff plans, let us start with, what does a tariff actually even mean? What does an economic tariff mean?
Okay, thank you very much once again, Debo Tyro. So a tariff is like a tax, all right? What government does is to place what is called a duty or a tax, you can call it a tax, on goods that are imported from another country into their country. Mm-hmm. All right. That is the simple definition of what a tariff is. There are several reasons why such taxes are imposed, but the main idea is it's a tax on goods coming in from another country, say country A, to the home country, country B, mm-hmm. all right? And we have different kinds of tariffs. For example, we have what is called the ad valorem tariff. Mm-hmm. Ad valorem tariff is basically saying whatever is coming in, whatever volume of goods coming in from another country into our country, what percentage of the total of that good are we taxing? Mm. So, for example, you are bringing in imported cars, and I said, okay, I'm levying a 10% tax or tariff, as we would know it, right, on the total volume of goods coming in from country A, say, to country B. Okay. Now, the second type of tariff is what is called a specific tariff. Mm. Now, instead of charging a percentage of the total volume, what I can do is I can charge a particular or specific amount per unit. For example, if I have 300 kg of rice coming in from country A to country B, I can see for every kg of rice coming in, I'm charging $5.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's what is called specific tariff. Then there's now what is called a compound tariff. A compound is a combination of the ad valorem tariff and the specific tariff. So for every good coming in, I can say I'm charging 10% of the total volume plus a $3 tax for every 10 units. So usually governments, impose tariffs for several reasons. Like I've said, they could do that to maybe gain or improve their revenue generating capabilities, or they could do that to protect certain industries. I believe that as we talk more, I'll begin to uncover some of all things. But that's just the main thing for our viewers to understand as far as tariffs are concerned.
That is really an eye opener, even for me. So it's the first one is the ad valorem tariff.
Ad valorem, ad valorem.
Ad valorem tariff.
Value addition, yeah, value addition, ad valorem.
Gotcha, ad value add tariff. And then the compound tariff. That's the,
yeah, the compound tariff.
Specific
and then we
tariff.
Have specific tariffs.
Gotcha. Right. Okay, that's interesting. So apparently, from all indications, President Trump of the United States has imposed the ad value add tariff.
Absolutely. Ad valorem tariff.
Canada.
On goods,
coming from
Canada
into
to the US.
Into the United States. Now, this question would be, before he actually got sworn in on the 20th of January as president, as the 47th president of the United States, he had said he was going to impose those tariffs, except Canada decides to surrender their sovereignty to the US. Do you actually see that happening in 2025?
Well, that's a very, very interesting area of discussion, right? And people can look at it from different perspectives and dimensions. I'll take it from the first perspective of the personality of Trump and his broad-based agenda. Trump has a strong personality. He's someone I respect a lot, right? Yeah, he's not a politician, but he's a businessman. But being a businessman, right, he approaches political issues in a way that is totally different and alienated from what the average politician would do. All right. And so trying to annex Canada for whatever reasons seemed like a personal vendetta as a result of certain things that I might want to just hold off for now. But
Okay.
yeah, so if you look at it from a personal perspective, he appears to be serious. Trump is someone that he talks or says something and then he does it. But if you look at it from a more general, global and political perspective, it's not possible in 2025. Because Canada by itself, although Canada has a very strong, personal and economic relationship with the US, but it doesn't seem that in 2025 that would happen. Canada is a country that holds its own sovereignty as an entity by itself. Canada has a structure that is similitude in terms of political and economic standpoint that is similar to that of the US. Canada has human beings that have sound mind, human beings that know what they're doing as much as the US does. I mean, Canada is not some underdeveloped countries, out there that you can easily throw something around and then annex. It's not, in my opinion, it's not possible.
Okay.
It's my opinion, it's not possible.
All right, let's move on from that. I was watching a video recently, especially as we know the current tariff is currently paused for a period of a month, to kind of see what the government of Canada would help improve border and all of the security issues that might be around there. But someone had threatened, no, someone not threatened, someone had said that if the tariffs were actually successfully imposed on exportation of goods from Canada to the US, that it might make Canada a third world snowing country. Based on the impact that the people in Canada would feel based on the tariff imposed. Now, that would lead me to my next question, which would be, what do you think, how significant do you think this tariff would be on Canadians, especially as it concerns industries like the manufacturing industry, automobile industry, and agriculture?
Oh,
That's
thank you
probably
very
my
much. You see, these industries are actually Canada's mainstay when it comes to exports, export market, export economy, right? And first of all, I must say that this tariff will affect both countries, but in different measures. So, for example, if the US eventually succeed to impose the tariffs on Canadian imported goods, that will feed into high cost of production in the US. All right, because the incidence of that tariff imposition, that is to say, if Canada decides to retaliate, the incidence of that tariff imposition will feed into the final consumers. So the price of products on shelves will go up.
Okay.
Now, when that happens, all right, the cost of living goes high. I'm still talking about the US side. The cost of living goes high. Don't forget that also there is a counter tariff from Canada. And so that means that there's going to be a decline in demand for US goods.
100%.
And when that happens, all right, when that happens, decline in demand, that means that production is going to slow down. Output is going to slow down. When output slow down, employment will also have to drop. Now that is also looking at it with reference to increase in prices. So you can see that overall standard of living going to drop. Although I hear that the government in the US is doing something about the taxes to reduce general tax rate to mitigate the effect of whatever counter, effects will come from Canada. All right, but let's talk about what is happening in Canada based on your original question. These tariffs do come into play. Something of that similitude is going to happen in Canada. And the worst aspect is that this industry that you have mentioned, okay, the main activity that they serve, all right, is the export economy. Most of what they produce, they export a large proportion of that. So when the US tariff comes into play, all right, it means that the cost of production, the cost of bringing, not just having this good here, but the cost of bringing this good here will go up.
100%.
When that goes up, the cost of living for everyone, all right, is also going to go up. When the cost of living goes up, all right, then people will find it difficult to live. Don't forget, we're also operating a relatively high tax rate economy, different from what is happening in the US.
Clearly.
So already we have challenges in the housing and real estate sector. We have challenges in the transport sector. We have even challenges with the consumer goods, the usual retail or groceries that we buy here, and the people are complaining. A lot of people are homeless in Toronto. They're homeless in Hamilton. They're homeless in Scarborough. Even in Kitchener-Waterloo, there are lots of homeless people. So
100%.
when cost of living goes up, you can fancy that people are going to be worse off. Now let's look at the employment in manufacturing, agriculture, lumbering, and even natural resources extraction. All right, we see that if these tariffs comes in, all right, Canadian economic growth G by GDP is going to slow by 1.13% per annum. If that happens, that is going to drive down employment, core employment rate, all right, across all sectors, all right, by 1.3%. That is equivalent to about what? About 74,000 jobs are going to be lost in Canada. Now, in the event that Canada now retaliates, all right, with a 25%, a percentage point kickback in tariff imposition against US goods, that means that GDP growth in Canada is going to, sorry, employment in Canada is going to go down by 2.3%. That means that about 510,000 jobs are going to be lost. Can you imagine that? That is competing with the current realities now when tariffs are not yet in place. So, which means jobs in manufacturing and the value chain
The
around it
value chain around it.
in agriculture and its value chain in extraction, mineral extraction, in lumbering, in steel, and other sectors are going to go down for it. And when that happens, it's going to plunge Canada's economy down by more than 1.5%. And when that happens, the post-COVID efforts that have been made to bring inflationary trend downwards and to make cost of living more bearable for everyone would have been frustrated. And we might see ourselves back in pandemic times. And that will not be good for the economy. That will not be good for even our allies, those that depend on us on economic, dependencies.
That's so interesting times ahead. So
Absolutely.
it'll be two barrel questions following what you've just said. The first one would be, obviously, you've narrated the impact on Canadian economy, which typically means that even though this tariff would affect both the United States and Canada, but it seemed like Canada would be severely affected,
Proceeds.
severely injured with this tariff. So the first question I would ask is, considering the fact that there's a current 30-day pause period to see if the Canadian government would do what is expected in terms of the border and security, just to kind of have a little bit of a truce there, do you think that this tariff will eventually kick off? Will be my first question. And then the next question would be, in the event that the tariff doesn't kick off, what would be the plans that you would think the Canadian government needs to consider, just in case this plan doesn't kick off now, but we have another President Trump in maybe another 8 years or in another 16 years that would threaten Canada with this kind of imposition and stuff like that, or threatening their sovereignty. What other markets can Canadians explore as it concerns exporting their goods to?
Right, you see, Debo, the projection as to what exactly will happen is, in my opinion, not so certain. Except one is in a very close, one puts his nose very close to what is happening on ground. So now, basically, now let's go back to basics. What is the cause of this? What is the cause of this brouhaha? All right. Number one, Trump has a pro-nationalist approach to secure the integrity of Americans as being sovereign people and a nation. All right. And so, as a result of that, Trump is concerned about one, illegal immigration, illegal migrants coming into the US and taking the jobs meant for the US people. And of course, you and I know that a major loophole in that area comes from the Canadian border. A lot of people moving in illegally from Canada to the US. I mean, even vice versa, but data has it that we have more net migration from Canada to the US, according to data, right? That's one. Number two, you know that the Canadian system is more is less aggressive about like cannabis, all right, and some certain kind of drugs, compared to the larger America. So with illegal migration, there is also the instance of illegal movement of fentanyl and some other hard drugs going from Canada to the US. That's also a problem. And you know the ripple effect of that on the American economy. So that is one of the things that US's Trump is trying to stifle out. So now we know that since the whole fracas between Canada, Mexico, and the US on this tariff challenge, right? Or tariff debate, Canada has begun to deepen effort, all right, to ensure that the border security becomes more uptight. Several billions of dollars have been committed to improve border security, especially along the US-Canada axis in the various areas, and also to improve technology. So how well does the US assess the progress on this in line with the expectation? We don't know yet. How well do they feel that Canada has cooperated so far in making sure that the borders are secure against these threats that they have identified? We cannot see for now. Now, in the event that the US is dissatisfied with progress on that front and they decide to go ahead after 30 days with the tariff, what are the things that Canada and Canadian businesses and households can do? Number one, I put it somewhere on my LinkedIn. I said that one of the things that Canada should begin to do now is to rethink its export economic strategies.
100%.
Begin to see how you can remove yourself from being overly dependent on just one major partner and seeing how you can dilute that relationship with other strategic partners. So, for example, you can explore other international markets in Europe via the CETA arrangement. You can explore international economic or exchange arrangement with Asia with the CPTPP arrangement. And you can also do that with Latin American countries. There are many countries that we may not know, except we research, that have tariff-free zones for which Canada and such countries may trade at either a lower cost or no cost at all, duty-free. Now, another thing that Canadian government and, of course, business can do is to strengthen domestic sales and partnership. For example, Canadians can increase focus on Canadian markets, Canadian customers, to offset whatever losses there are or that would have been, experienced from loss with trade with the US. Another thing is to partner with local businesses, All right, in Canada to boost trade among Canada is a big country, both by geography and by economy. So you can deepen relationship with trading partners within the country to boost domestic trade. Now, another thing that Canadian markets and Canadian people can do for themselves is to restructure supply chain to reduce cost. For example, you can source raw materials domestically from non-US businesses, all right, so that you can avoid high cost due to tariffs. So whatever materials, raw materials you can get from within the country to avoid any cross-border relationship for that time, and especially for the market being more affected, all right, then you can achieve lower production costs and scale as a result. You can also negotiate better deals with suppliers to reduce overhead expenses. I mean, these are things that you can do both with Canadian markets or Canadian suppliers or businesses and other non-US businesses like Mexico and Asia, like China, for example. All right. So another thing is to look inward and leverage government support and fundings. There are government support programs and funding programs that can help, especially the most heavily affected markets in the tariff war. So there are, low interest loan programs. There are subsidy programs that the government actually has to support some of these markets or some of these sectors that are heavily affected in order to reduce overall cost of production. Because at the end of the day, we're looking at how cost of production can be reduced in order to reduce the chances that the incidence of that cost will pass on to the final
The final
consumers
consumer at the end of the day.
so that the cost of living will not go so bad.
That goes
That's what we're
up
looking for.
higher.
I mean, there are other means that Canadian markets and businesses can look at, all right? Extending their digital presence beyond North America, for example. For example, if you can do direct business to customer interaction without using wholesalers or without using middlemen. So I'm trading with China, I'm trading with Brazil, I'm trading with Côte d'Ivoire, and I have a platform online where they can easily subscribe to my services, and without going through wholesalers in the US, I ship directly to them, and so I've totally avoided
That
the harsh tariff environment
tariff
of
environment.
the US. There's a lot of other things that can be done.
Sounds really good, and I think I'm hopeful that the government of Canada would definitely be exploring. I'm assuming that they're already exploring some of these options already, because it's about time for you not to put all of your eggs in one basket,
Eggs in one basket.
as it seems like that's what has been the cost of the day with the government of Canada and trading with the US. Thank you so much for those insightful and so eye-opening conversation that we've had so far. I think we're just going to wrap up with a final question, which you've really typically talked about, but I'll just say, so this is going to be like a different question entirely compared to Trump. Now, it would just be about immigration, right? Immigration to the West. A lot of people have had so many stories to share about their immigration experiences. As people have said, it's a futile journey. People have described it as the journey that only poor people explore. What has been your own story so far from migrating from Africa's most populous country to one of the, beautiful countries that we currently live in North America?
Very interesting, very interesting. And you might be luring me to spending more time than I probably scheduled to talk about this.
I should add in 5 minutes. I should add in 5 minutes. Only
No,
5 minutes.
it's okay. It's okay, even if you have more time, because first of all, this is an area I'm very passionate about. I
Okay.
should let you know now that I'm also working on a research paper to address this thing, because they're very a grant-worthy research paper, actually, if you must know. Yes.
That's interesting.
You see, as an economist, first of all, let me say, as an individual, all right, I was doing well back home. I say that with all sense of humility. All right, I was doing well back home. I was comfortable, and I was already on the growth trajectory that was in plan. Let me just put it that way, right? I didn't have it all figured out yet, but I was okay. So, but I started seeing certain things, and I told myself, things are not going to get better. You can have your money in the bank. You can have your car in your house. You can have a beautiful house, very comfortable house. But what happens if you're driving from your house, for example, and you're driving from, say, Lagos to Ibadan, and then your car pops into a pothole? And then because of that, and you know the story behind the pothole, why the pothole is there, whereas it shouldn't be there, and then you're in an accident and then you die. Or you're driving, you're going to the southeast, maybe to greet friends or whatever, and then you are being ambushed by UGM. What happens when the value of the money you kept in your account, you wake up the next morning and then the value drops significantly low? There are certain things that you cannot control, no matter how comfortable you are. So I told myself, even if I'm doing okay as an individual, do I want to have my family that I'm going to have in this environment that is unpredictable, that is volatile? That is where my immigration journey, the thought in my immigration journey started.
Started.
And I told myself, let me use what I've been able to fight for and gather. All right. Let me use it to push myself out of this unpredictable environment. Let me tell you a sad story. The day I was leaving my country for this country, that day, as we drove, as the driver drove us out of the gate, there was an accident by an Okada man. I'm sorry to say this, might sound gory. His brain, a vehicle hit him and ran. His brain was on the floor,
But
crushing out.
accidents happen everywhere in the world. Like, see,
But they are avoidable accidents.
but again, that's why it's called an accident, right? An accident.
Yes.
You know, it's unplanned, it just happens, right?
Now, there was no response. It was just locals around him, hey, and all that. Now, coming here to Canada, let me just leave the reason now. Coming to Canada so far, I found out that it's also another set of trouble by itself, because the job market is dominated by what is called the hidden employment market. There's a lot of,
Can you clarify what you mean by the eating
right,
market?
right. Now, the hidden employment market is that aspect of the market that is basically driven by what is called information. Information that does not spread around.
I get you.
Information that you require certain strategies to be able to access
Access.
the information. If you do not have that information, you're just going to be loitering around and you won't get anything done. I, for a person, I applied to more than 700 places in the space of 9 months. I have evidence that I can show you in our private time. Did interviews.
Seven hundred.
I'm
That's
telling you,
a typical telling.
I did interviews, I did assessment. Many a time they will tell you, we like your energy, we like your resume, we like what you've got, but we believe that you're overqualified for this job. A lot of people started telling me, remove your PhD from your resume. In fact, remove your master's from your resume. I said, I won't do that.
I know
Some
you're
people
like
say,
you spend a lot of years to acquire this knowledge. Why would you have to remove
why would I have to remove that? Why would I
your
subsell
qualifications?
myself? And some people said, remove your traditional name. When you see a traditional name, you get discouraged. I said, no, I'm not going to do this. And let me tell you, I got my job, courtesy of the hidden market. A friend of mine called me and said, I know you have a PhD. The guy's a cybersecurity guy, good friend of mine. I know you have a PhD. I know you were lecturing back home and you'd love to lecture. All right, take this number, call this person, tell him you're from me. I called the president, the president said, send me your resume. I looked at my resume, said, take this email, send your resume to that email. That was the recruiting manager. Person saw it, impressive resume. Are you ready for an interview at so time? Oh, why not? I'm ready. That's how I landed the
That's
job.
how you got a job.
No single application prior to discussing with that friend of mine. So the hidden nature of the employment market in Canada makes it more difficult, and that's why strategies, maybe we can talk about it later. I've got a lot
No,
to talk
of
about.
course. This is I'm going to bring you back on the stage, sorry, on the show, on the Debo Tyro Talk Show to discuss your story and to also share nuggets on what people can actually learn, especially if they're trying to migrate to the West. But Ifeo, Dr. Ifeoluwa Ogunriola, it's been a pleasure having you on the Debo Tyro Talk Show to uncover what actually a tariff is, to talk about the proposed economic tariffs that the US president is trying to impose on Canada, and your suggestions on what the Canadian government can begin to think about so that they diversify the exportation of goods coming coming out of Canada to other countries. Thank you so much for being a guest again on the Debo Tyro Talk Show, and everyone watching this. This audio for this platform would be available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you find your favorite podcast as on conversations, candid conversations with Debo on that platform. Thank you for watching, and it will be a wrap from us today.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.